WCRI's Festival Series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our special series on the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And tonight is a very, very special night. We have 620 people here in the studio. I don't know. There's a lot. Pamela, you brought a whole pile of people with you. Tell us about this.
I brought the fantastic Hermitage Piano Trio. So we have Misha Kalin, violin, Sergei Antonov, cello, and Ilya Kazantsev, piano, who are all in their own right formidable soloists, but together form the Hermitage Piano Trio. And the Washington Post said of them, three of Russia's most spectacular young soloists, turned a performance of such power and sweeping passion that it left you nearly out of breath. So we are absolutely thrilled that this outstanding trio will be making its festival debut in just a few weeks in a special return to the stunningly beautiful Marble House Ballroom. This concert will be on Saturday, March 24th at 7 p.m. And if you have not yet purchased your tickets, I would advise you to do so as it is nearly sold out.
Well, and if they bring all their family with them, then it'll definitely be sold out. Okay.
So if they want to purchase tickets, they are available at newportmusic.org. And the evening will include catering by Russell Morin. And we are very grateful for their support for the spectacular evening. And it is going to be quite a spread. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. And if you've never been to a catered event by Russell Morin, it's worth the trip. And all kinds of things happening that night. So it'll be great to listen to their stories. And where will we start?
Well, we're actually going to start, before we go into the repertoire, we are going to start with their stories. So, Sergei, I would love to hear a little bit about yourself. You are a favorite of the Newport Music Festival.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
And you're also like a calendar boy, right? I mean, your picture is all over the place.
It's on the front of the website right now, as well as on the front of our Chamber Music Series postcard.
Wow. Okay. So you can autograph that for me before you go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to. So my name is Sergei Antonov. I was born in Moscow and born and raised. I live in New York right now with my family. And this upcoming summer is going to be my 11th year with the festival, and I'm super excited to.
11th year, and you're only 21.
Well, 21 and a half.
Yeah. 21 and a half, okay. Well, that's great, 11 years. And tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, there's going to be a little story about me and Ilya, I went to Central Music School in Moscow for 11 years, then graduated from Moscow Conservatory, and sort of finished my degree in Lange School of Music in Boston.
Okay. And, as I said, won the Tchaikovsky competition, the prestigious cello competition in the world, amongst other things.
There you go. Now, what would you, because the average American person probably doesn't know a lot of cello players. There's obviously one or two or three in every orchestra, but, that's a pretty small amount. What led you to the cello?
The story is that I was born in a family of cellists. My late father was a cellist, and my mother is teaching cello in Moscow for 38 years now.
Wow.
So she wanted to teach me, and the obvious choice for us was cello.
Excellent.
And she attends the festival
every year. Flies in from Moscow every year for 3 weeks, specially for the festival.
Well, that's great. That's great to have that family support and get you going. I'm sure that helped get you in the right direction.
Yeah. So now we get to hear from Misha.
Hi, everyone. This is Misha Kalin. I'm the eldest member of the trio, I'm originally also from the Soviet Union. That's how long ago I came to this beautiful country.
Yeah,
I'm
very
not.
Oh, okay. I feel old, but I have two young guys, you know. Well, I mean, don't forget, with old age comes experience, so
that's
which
correct.
Always helps.
I know it way better than you do.
Well, I'm not that old, but I'm from St. Petersburg originally, and actually when I left the Soviet Union, it used to be called Leningrad. Beautiful city, and of course the name of the trio kind of has that St. Petersburg in it, because we decided to name the trio. That was something of where we came from, but yet, as the great Hermitage collection shows, it is not just made up of beautiful Russian art, it's made up of art all from all over the world, because Catherine the Great was so smart and so whimsical in her ways and that's kind of our slogan. We love to play Russian music, uh-huh. but we also love to play Beethoven, Brahms, Dvorak, love the fact that we can bring chamber music at its highest level to the audience.
And what was your musical background growing up? Did you just jump right in?
I had to. Almost like Sergei, my mom is a violinist, and uh-huh. so is my oldest brother, who is actually a member of the Seattle Symphony. So we have two violinists in the family. My father is an electrical engineer, but he loves classical music. So I guess my grandmother was the one who was instrumental in saying to my mom, hey, if you start one, how can you not start the other one? So I do have a musical background also.
Excellent.
And actually, Misha is joining us for the first time. He is making his Newport Music Festival debut now in March at our concert, and then he'll be joining us this summer, and we'll talk about that in a later broadcast, as a matter of fact.
All right, so now one more to go, right?
We have one more to go. We have our wonderful pianist, Ilya Kazantsev.
Good evening. So I'm the pianist of the trio. My name is Ilya Kazantsev. And before I continue talking, I just wanted to let you know that in general, I'm pretty good at interviews because I don't like to talk.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Now,
so let's talk.
Now, I must admit, of the three voices we've heard so far, you definitely sound the most, what I would say, stereotypical Russian voice.
What exactly do you mean?
There you go. So we called Central Casting, and we got you. Now, let's tell us a little bit about your musical background. How did it all start?
Okay, so it started when my mother saw a little post in our apartment building that there was a local piano teacher, and she signed my older brother to take piano lessons. And then he starts taking piano lessons, and then in a couple months, even though I wasn't taking piano lessons, somehow I started playing better than him. So my parents decided maybe it should be me.
It should be a switch, yeah.
Who should take piano lessons. But otherwise, my parents are not musicians. My mother is philologist, my father is entomologist, but they both love classical music. And then,
great.
So I just started taking.
Now, is this your first experience here?
It is actually not. As a matter of fact, Ilya, you actually had a dramatic debut at the festival last summer, stepping in to play the feared piano part of the Ravel Piano Trio when one of the other artists got sick. So tell us a little bit about that, because I was there that night and you were brilliant.
Well, thank you. Not much to say. Sergei Antonov, the cellist of our trio, send me a message, can you play Ravel Trio in a couple of days? I answered yes, and then I went, and then I played.
Have you played it before?
I played it years before, but this is one of my most favorite pieces, actually. Like, I absolutely adore the whole trio, well, in general, the legacy of Maurice Ravel.
So how did you prepare, on such short notice, and you played, it's really a piece that people fear. So how did you prepare for that within, 48 hours?
Well, I practiced.
That's a good, see?
It helps.
practice. There you go. All right.
So before we hear how you came together as an ensemble, let's hear some of your gorgeous music making. This is the Etude, Opus 8, number 12, by Alexander Scriabin, arranged for cello and piano by Ilya and Sergei themselves, and they play this as well. This is an excerpt from their album entitled Elegy, which is available on iTunes for purchase.
beautiful music provided by the, let's see if I say this correctly, Hermitage? No.
Close enough. Hermitage.
Hermitage. I was trying to get the air out of it, and, you know, I didn't want it to sound like air supply. Beautiful music, and Misha, tell us a little bit about how the trio got together.
Well, we've been around for now 7 years, which is something to be said, because each of us have our own solo careers. But when this project was undertaken, we kind of made a decision to be either all in and not halfway in, because I think it's so important in today's world that piano trio is a bit, for me, a lost art, because the quartet is a lifestyle. You know, they really need to be there all the time. They need to practice all the time, and you can't just get together. Now, a lot of people have made the piano trio the little get-together thing. Like, you can rehearse a couple of times. You have a pianist who can kind of save you by playing louder so the strings are not heard. And we really looked around, and since the Beaux-Arts trio, which is, of course, the golden stamp for a beautiful piano trio playing, there hasn't been really so much dedication to it. So we really are not doing this as a side thing. We are really, the three of us are doing it as the primary thing to bring such vast and beautiful repertoire back to how it needs to be performed. And I mean, one of the things before we got all together, we made a commitment that we will rehearse, not only when we have concerts, and it's tough sometimes. Okay. And even our management, you know, kind of have two calendars out there. They see our internal calendar of when we have our all soul stuff, and when they can schedule the trio stuff. So in some ways, we could be playing more, but because of our other commitments, we're up to about 30 concerts a year, and we'd love to do some more. But in terms of how we came around, for us, we actually had a suggestion by a management, which is the vice versa, where you kind of formed a group and you try to get a manager to sign. A very prominent manager approached me and the original pianist from the trio to say, let's put a group together. I want elite players, but I want them to play chamber music. So that idea was put together. Sergei was suggested to us, and a couple notes in, it just felt like this could probably work. Okay. What I said probably is because the, you know, initial impressions when you fall in love, yeah, sometimes don't turn out the same way after a little while. But it's been really great. And when the original pianist had other commitments and left the trio, the natural progression was to try out Ilya, because Sergei has performed with him for so many years before. Now, one thing, of course, when you're a collaborator in chamber music, in the sonatas, is different than the piano trio, because the pianist is very important. So we had a couple of months of trying out Ilya, and happy to say he was the only pianist we tried, because we felt that we could definitely grow together. And so we've been
It just fit.
Mm-hmm. But as I said, it's a very serious form of art, and we want the audience that listen to us not to come away, not that they just played the music beautifully or they loved it. We want them to see that we put music forefront over our individual solo abilities.
Quite remarkable, and your dedication and devotion to the art form is, it's really breathtaking. So we are going to hear an excerpt from the Hermitage Piano Trio in a moment. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Sergei a question, because on his album with Ilya, on the Elegy album, he and Ilya did a lot of the arranging. So I'd like to know, Sergei, how did you get that idea?
So the arrangement that you heard is actually from our album called Elegy. And aside from the seriousness of classical music, we also want to have fun and try something new, try something original. And that's how those arrangements came about. And there are a bunch of them on that album. And we're going to do some more, actually. So it's just a fun thing to do. You hear a piece of music and you just say, God, I wish I could played it, you know, and then you just sit down and see if it works out, and in those recordings, it did.
Yeah. So. I love what you say. You know, we always talk about classical music and people think it's so serious, but I think exactly what you said, serious fun is really what we do.
Exactly.
You have to be beautifully trained, but at the same time, if you're not having a good time, it shows. So we're going to actually hear another piece from your album, a seldom heard piece, At the Fountain, Opus 20 by Carl Davidov. So Sergei, tell us a little bit about this piece.
Well, to tell you about this piece is to start with who Davidov was. He was a cellist in the turn of the 20th century, and he is considered to be a founder of the Russian cello tradition. So he's a very, very important figure in the cello world.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to this piece, At the Fountain, Opus 20, by Carl Davidov, played by Sergei Antonov, cello, and Ilya Kazantsev. This is from their Elegy album, and again, if you are enjoying this as much as I think you are, you need to go buy it on iTunes.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
Thank you.
We are back, and Pamela, I know we got a lot of information to that first segment and some great music, but we want to move it along, so I'm going to turn it over to you for the next piece.
Oh, thank you so much. So Misha has been patiently waiting, and now we're going to hear a solo work of his. You know, Misha, you've made several recordings of this less-known composer for our listeners, Henri Vieuton. So let's tell our audience a little bit about the composer before we hear some of his music. Henri Vieuton was born in Belgium in 1820 and died in Algeria in 1881. He was a child prodigy and one of the most important composers of violin music in the latter 19th century. He was certainly an innovator within the Romantic movement. Henri Vieuton was musically precocious, taking his first violin lessons at the age of 4 from his father, who was an amateur violinist. He later studied with a very famous violin teacher and performed a violin concerto in public at the age of 6. He went on concert tour at the age of 8, appearing in Liège, Brussels, and other cities. He caught the notice of Charles de Berlioz, who took him on as a student, and de Berlioz introduced him to Parisian audiences, who were very enthusiastic about this youth's incredible talent. Berlioz was not able to continue teaching him because he performed himself so much, and so young Henri then traveled to Brussels and worked with Pauline Garcia, Berlioz's sister-in-law, who, you know, as most of us know, that turned into Pauline Viardot, the great pianist, singer, composer, so he was certainly in the right circles. A few years later, he went on a concert tour, and he met Paganini. So again, you know, as we've heard in so many of these programs, these musicians all knew each other.
It's a small circle.
It's quite fascinating. So by 1836, Vieuton had composed his first violin concerto, and he had several concert tours, including two to Russia. In between, he suffered from an illness and needed to recuperate for a long time. Vieuton also made concert tours of the United States, but having had much success in Russia, he accepted a post at St. Petersburg as the court violinist in 1846. He left Russia in 1851 and resumed his career as a virtuoso performer. And later in life, he took a teaching post at the Brussels Conservatory, where his students included Evgeny Isai, who we talked about in an earlier program.
Mm-hmm.
He unfortunately suffered a stroke and had paralysis of his right arm. So that basically ended his career as a soloist, though he eventually regained enough ability to perform chamber music in private concerts. He was also able to compose. In 1879, he moved to Algeria, where his daughter lived, and he died there. What's fascinating about this is that he also wrote two cello concertos, and Sergei was telling us just a few minutes ago that he performed one of these. So again, musicians, no composers.
There you go.
So we are going to listen to the Ballade and the Polonaise by Henri Vieuton, played by Misha Kalin, our violinist, with the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Mogrelia.
We will listen to that, then take another short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Once again, and Pamela, we have a lot of things to get into the show, so I'm going to turn it back to you.
So now that our listeners have gotten to know these three wonderful instrumentalists as soloists, it's definitely time to hear something from them as the Hermitage Piano Trio. So on the concert at Marble House on Saturday, March 24th, you'll be playing the Beethoven Trio, Opus 1, Number 3 in C minor. So today I think you brought us a live excerpt from another Beethoven piano trio, namely Beethoven's Opus 11, composed in 1797, known as the Gassenhauer Trio. As we know, that piece was not originally written for violin, cello, and piano, but rather for woodwind instruments. So this piece was composed by Beethoven. It's an early piece of his chamber music, and it was scored for piano, clarinet, and probably bassoon. The key of B-flat major was probably chosen to facilitate some of the fast passages in the clarinet. And so this work is sometimes known as the Gassenhauer piece because the third movement comes from a popular drama, giocoso, probably like an opera, L'amor marinaro ossia il cosaro. So what's so interesting about this is there was a tune from that piece that people were singing in the streets, known as Gassen in Germany. So because he took those themes and he made the third movement, it became known as the Gassenhauer Trio because people would sing it as they went to work. So it's such a beautiful piece. If you'd like to hear this wonderful piano trio live, then please join the Newport Music Festival at the third of our Chamber Music Series concerts on March 24th at 7 p.m. at Marble House. Thank you again to Sergei, Ilya, and Misha, and we look forward to hearing you, the three of you, in just a couple of weeks. Again, we will end this broadcast with the last movement from the Gassenhauer Trio. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.